You're listening to the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For more shows, visit the podcast page at laughfactory.com.
It's the After Laugh, After Laugh. Welcome to the After Laugh, After Laugh, After Laugh. After Laugh, man. Go ahead and pull up a chair.
Hey guys, welcome to the After Laugh. I am back after a brief hiatus, and I'm here with my we've met before.
Yeah. Do you not remember how we met?
You know what's so funny? I think we met on a procedural TV show.
No.
Hold on. Aaron O'Brien. How are you today, Aaron?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I know we knew each other. Actually, it's so funny because sometimes I have people on podcasts. I go, I know this person. I know we worked on something. I thought it was maybe Criminal Minds or it wasn't that.
I'm excited to tell you.
Okay, hold on. Now, can I guess?
Yes.
Was it a TV show?
No.
Was it a movie?
No.
Was it a music video?
Yes.
Wait.
Think.
Was it Arlandria?
Yes, in New York.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy. So we did this. Explain what Arlandria was.
Okay. So this was a thing that I found on Actors Access, and I remember being super excited because it was a Foo Fighters music video. So,
like, you could direct an original video for Foo Fighters. And this was when videos had a little bit of whatever.
Yeah, they were cool still.
They were still kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it was like 10 years ago?
Yeah, because that's when I moved here. So I was still in New York.
It was 10 years ago.
Yep. So, yeah, it was like a contest where, like, a director gets to, like, submit their video, and they like
the winner, and it got played on MTV.
It was Fuse.
VH1. Oh, Fuse.
Because I waited for that shit. Like, I was so excited to see it. Yeah. So I was like, dude, I'm like, they're going to introduce our video. And that was, like, one of my first, like, being on TV experiences. So that was, like, big deal for me.
Is Fuse still around?
I don't know. Probably not.
I don't think they are around anymore. But Fuse was supposed to take over the MTV space.
Maybe. I miss MTV.
Is there any place that shows videos anymore? Because MTV doesn't really show any videos anymore, right?
I don't even know if
it's just Ridiculousness
still
and then, like, reruns of Jersey Shore, I think.
Yeah.
And then VH1 also does a lot of reality TV now.
I think. I don't even watch real TV. I just watch Netflix, Hulu, and...
There has to be a station. Anyway, so it was a music video for the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. And so they chose it out of a group of, I don't know, hundreds of submissions.
I think so. I'm sure everybody was really excited.
Foo Fighters
to submit.
Was a big deal back then.
Yeah,
they still are.
I still think they're cool as shit.
And it was called their song Arlandria, which came out as a single.
No, I think it was like the whole album because everybody had like they directed each song on the new album.
Oh,
yeah.
That's just a Dave Grohl thing to do, isn't it?
I think so.
So I don't remember the video. I remember being very weird.
Yeah.
I was the hero. And I was being chased around Brooklyn by a bunch of...
Weird-ass superheroes.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Like, you were a superhero.
I was a mystic. I was like a psychic. I had a crystal ball, and I was like doing some voodoo on you.
And my ex-girlfriend at the time was in the video, too.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't tell you this is a great story. It's not a great story. It's not even a story. It's just a thing that happened. I got her to do the video, and we had a moment where she comes out of the box, and I touch her face. And we've been having tough times in the relationship. And she was dealing with me in such a way. It was so weird and, like, emotional. And then she went back to L.A. the next day. I was still there for something. And she basically, like, broken up with me.
Aw.
And she told me that she did it, like, that was her breaking up with me. Like, during the shoot. I'm like, wow, I guess it's immortalized now.
Yeah.
So she just kind of took off. She never. I think I saw her again a couple times after that.
That's so, like, sad.
It was really weird. I totally forgot about that.
I rewatched that video, so I vividly remember what she looks like. I rewatched it yesterday because I was like,
"Did you really?"
Yeah.
Oh my god! It's still on, like, YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It has like a million views.
Is it really?
Yeah. So I was like, I need to watch this thing again.
So I'm running from superheroes. I probably look so different. My god, I was probably so skinny.
You look similar. You look the same. You look similar.
You look like the same person. You look the same.
I'm trying to look the same. I'm just 10 years older.
No, I've aged. I'm sure.
Look great.
Everything about me is thicker now.
Stop. No. Well, COVID made me thicker. Like, I'm telling you, I just lost like 15 pounds. All I did was eat this year.
I gained 24 pounds during COVID.
But you look good.
But I'm also wearing a little bit of a girdle action.
I wear those too.
Sorry, that was a visual for people
I love
to see.
It was a nice girdle.
I have like a little girdle going on. And I'll tell you what it is. It's my punishment to myself to remind me I have to lose weight.
Because those things hurt. Is it hurt?
No, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, it can be a little uncomfortable, but it's like a reminder to me that, like, hey, fatty, You don't take this off until you get under 200 pounds.
Oh, no.
I got to get under 200.
You look great. You're good.
Anyway, good. So that's so cool. What a trip down memory lane.
I know, the most painful
breakup of my fucking life.
Like, thanks, bitch. Podcast over.
And that guy, Nick Spavoda, what's his name? Nick?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, Nick Spavoda. I think so.
Spavoda,
yeah, something like that.
He was just this kid from like Staten Island, maybe. Yep. Obviously, like very modest. How do you politely say he was poor? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From like an old school Staten Island Italian.
Yeah.
But just wanted to be a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And I shot another thing with him, another short movie, which I never saw. And he was a good kid. He had a lot. I think what happens to a lot of these people, a lot of people in the world, they have these big dreams and then they meet someone.
Yeah.
And then they have a baby and then they get married. And if you do that at a young enough age, which is probably a good time to do it, your priorities shift.
True.
So that crazy, weird hunger that consumes most people up until about age 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Goes away. Anyway, so that's great. Good that you're here. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
So you got that, Alejandra. And then we just stayed in touch, I guess.
Yeah. Kind
of, and I would invite you to things, as always.
Yeah. You know, I remember, what was it? When I moved out here, we connected again. And then, like, just, like, stayed in touch on, like, Instagram and stuff.
Did you come to a show when you came out here?
No, I think you said, okay, I don't know.
Did I take
weird,
you on a date?
But no, I don't think it was a date. I didn't feel like a date. But you were like, dude, I'm going swing dancing with some friends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, cool.
And we went swing dancing.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but it was fun. And that was like our catch up. But it didn't feel like a date. Was it a date?
I didn't even make a move on you, huh?
No, it was like, I had a beer. You didn't drink. I remember this. I always remember when people drink.
Yeah, I don't drink.
Reason.
That's so funny. And I never make moves on, I never make a move on women because I always feel in my head that the right woman will make a move on me.
There you go.
No, in retrospect, I look back, I'm like, I'm pretty good that I didn't make that woman. Because, anyway, so you're out here and you are, one of the things I want to talk to you about is you do stunts. You're a stunty.
Yeah.
Which is the term I didn't know.
I mean, I don't usually use that one, but it's a term. That's
you don't call each other stunties.
No, I'm like, no.
We got the Britney Spears helicopter over us.
Uh-oh.
Just FYI, actors call you guys stunties, like the actors
on
sets,
so.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not a slur.
No, it's a slur.
But my friend, who I will not name his name, he's a pretty big actor, but he's a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for, frisky.
Okay.
On set, if you know what I mean. Just he's like, he likes to dilly-dally.
Dilly-dally.
He's been married forever, but I don't know if they have an arrangement, but whatever it is, he just likes to. And his last movie, I was like, so how did, what were you up to? And he goes, oh man, the fucking stunties. It's always the stunties.
Like the hot ones? Is that what he meant? Like
the stunties. He just ends up having affairs with stunties.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, wow, that's, I've never really thought about like a type of woman being a stuntie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because you don't strike me as a typical stuntie.
No.
Usually, I think of stunties. When you think of stunt men, you think of like legitimately like the crazy guys that you know.
Yeah.
The guys who will do the craziest shit.
That's
imaginable.
My boyfriend. He's fucking
That's
nuts.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So your boyfriend got you into being a stunt person.
So, yeah. Like we've been together 8 years and he's been a stunt man actor the entire time.
And you weren't a stunt person at first,
obviously. No. I came out for acting is my passion. Acting's what I love. Acting's like my focus. But because of him, like I started doing stunts and like we would like film some cool like fights and stuff and then a lot of the like the indie movies I do, they end up being like very like fighting and stunt forward, and so I guess I'm like a stunt actress, I would say.
Interesting. A stunt actress.
Yeah.
So when you audition for things, you have to audition for things with stunts?
No, but because I guess I'm definitely more of an actress, but it gets me in doors being like, well, you can save money because I'm gonna do the stunt and I'm gonna do the acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It seems like that would be the dream of anyone, like any producer or director. You want someone, because a lot of movies, I feel like any movie that's going to have a big appeal is going to have stunts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless it's like The Father with Anthony Hopkins.
Right.
But even then, like maybe he falls a couple times. I haven't seen the movie. You know what I mean? So like I've always, when I came up, I got out early, like 2000s, I was out doing the indie scene in New York. And I would always tell them, I can do my own stunts. I can do my own stunts. And I don't know why. It was like a bone of of contention with me that like people wanted to do stunts for me because I could fucking do my own stunts. And then you get older and then you're like, oh, fuck it. The last movie I did was a movie with Riz Ahmed. Mm-hmm. And I play a white supremacist.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, I have to, he shoots me in the chest and I have to fall down. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'll do, like they're going to hire a stunt man for the day to get shot with a squib and fall down.
Yeah.
I could do that. Okay, so they were like, can you? And I was like, well, I'm a brown belt in jiu-jitsu and I'm fucking... So they had to like test me to make sure that I could do it first before they allowed me. But what was weird is they didn't give me stunt pay afterwards. They didn't like give me more money. I thought, like, I just saved you guys like at least a cool grand.
Nope.
What the fuck? So when you first got in touch, your boyfriend just convinced you because you'd been doing stuff. Do you get to, are you in the martial arts space too? Is that something that's part of your purview?
So I did a movie a few years ago called Fight Valley. It was on like Showtime and all like the Amazons and whatnot. And it was a movie with like some legit UFC fighters like Cyborg, Misha Tate.
Oh, wow.
It was like.
Female fighters.
Yeah, Holly Holm.
Oh, wow.
So when I got that job, I was like, dude, like I don't want to look like an asshole. So I started taking jiu-jitsu.
Oh.
Yeah. And I honestly didn't even use any of it. Like I did some fights in it, but they were like super like minor, like nothing crazy.
And very choreographed. Usually the fight, they are standing too, right?
Yeah. It was I had this fight where like literally I like ran at the girl, ripped her by her hair, we made it look cool, and then like started punching her on the ground. It was like easy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But the girl, my boyfriend actually ended up stunt coordinating it too.
Oh, wow.
But the girls, like the MMA girls, their shit was like legit.
Yeah.
And the fear was, oh, hi.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because you can't really hear it being recorded.
Oh, good, good, good.
But it sounds in our ear, like what the fuck, can anyone hear us? That's LA, baby.
The girls that were, this is what I was saying. The fear with like choreographing their fights was that they were going to really beat the shit out of each other. But no, they were great. They like...
Oh, because they had bad blood?
Well, no, not so much that, but more because they're trained to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
They're not like, trained to pull punches.
Right.
Although there is a weird thing now, because I do a podcast called MMA Roasted. Shout out to Adam Hunter. I don't know if you know that podcast. No. But anyway, we interview a lot of UFC fighters, female UFC fighters, and wrestlers too. And there is a big transition back and forth. Well, in particular, going from UFC or MMA to wrestling. A lot of people, they're kind of like, well, I'm 37 now, and I can't really do... The UFC is not really realistic, but I can still jump off a top rope. I can still fake it a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of overlap, which is very bizarre to me. Like, Ronda Rousey is obviously doing UFC now.
I love her.
And I'm sure Cyborg and Holly Holmes are still fighting too, huh?
Yeah, then Misha's getting back into it now. She just has like a baby and all that.
That's so crazy. They have like two kids. They come back, they're fighting again. That's nuts.
That's I God bless them. I couldn't do
so it. So you took jiu-jitsu, but that was the extent of your martial arts.
Yeah, I did like a couple months. I got a Groupon.
There you go.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. And I honestly felt like I was like, I'm okay at this.
Yeah.
But I didn't continue it because I was like, I got really grossed out by fucking dudes sweating on me.
You know, I think that's so true that is why women in general don't do it. Because I think some women do it because they're boy crazy and you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of dudes rolling on top of you. And then some women who do it because it's probably the best self-defense you can have as a woman, I think. Particularly if we're talking about defense against rape or assault, like it's about being smaller and vulnerable and how you could disarm someone or turn the tables. Or they love it because they're it's so great for women because it's about hip movement and flexibility, which women have men in spades.
Right.
So, but I think most women I know who start it, they stop. And I think it's after a while, it just feels, like you said, I think it feels gross to have guys just like...
Yeah.
I had on like top a of you and
dripped in my mouth. I was like, dude, I can't.
Yeah. And the first time a guy, and I've never had this happen to me, but I've heard stories. Like the first time you're rolling with a guy, probably no gi, and then you feel a boner, like, nope.
I have not felt the boner, thank God. But it was funny because there was this, there was a young kid in the class. He was probably like 17 or something. And the instructor was like, do you want to work with Aaron? He was like, no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he was embarrassed, and I don't blame him.
Yeah. No, I think I've rolled with a lot of women. It's always a little bit weird, unless they're like a black belt and they can do a flow guard in such a way that it's a real fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if they're not at that level, you don't want to have a spaz out with the, like, they, but they get really, like, sometimes they get really spazzy if they're being dominated. So you kind of take it easy, but then they get mad at you for taking it easy.
Yeah.
You're like, you want me to take it easy. Trust me.
Oh, I wanted everybody to take it easy.
You don't want me to match you. I love jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's like my main thing. So, what was your first stunt movie? What was the first thing you did that were you, your transitional film from acting to stunt actress?
I guess it might have been that MMA movie, Fight Valley.
Fight Valley. You can still see it out there?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's an interesting one. It's definitely B movie, you know.
But, oh, yeah. That's fine.
It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fun film.
And your parents can watch it?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm like, maybe I'm a little typecast, but I'm always playing the freaking lesbian, and I'm always have like a lesbian like love scene in like too many movies.
Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do that anymore.
So
now they're like, Erin O'Brien isn't actually a lesbian.
We know she likes penis.
She has a boyfriend.
But yeah, so my definitely not a family friendly.
Yeah.
But oh, this was really cool. So I did a. Do you remember Tremors? The Tremors movies?
Of course,
dude, fucking classic.
There's like seven of them now.
Yeah,
right?
But like, so they remade the Tremors into a TV show. They did it with who the fuck is it? Blumhouse.
Oh, wow.
So I got a call from a stunt coordinator that I know, and she was just like, hey, I showed the director your reel. Do you want to, like, can we hire you to, like, act and do a stunt? And I was like, dude, that's, like, you kidding? That's a dream. Like, so we filmed in New Mexico. They filmed the pilot. I had, like, one scene where it was, like, stunt acting, and I got eaten by a graboid. That was cool shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, like, this hole in the ground that was, like, a little bit taller than me, and basically, like, a dude, like, pulling, like, a string on the side, like a trap door.
Yeah.
So I fell into that. I'd do that twice. But that was so cool, and that was Kevin Bacon, and I was like,
oh, Kevin Bacon was
in
it too?
Yes. I was like starstruck. Like, and it never got picked up. So they made the pilot.
Because Kevin Bacon was in the original movie too, right?
Yeah.
So he wanted to do the pilot too. Interesting.
That was his baby. Yeah. I don't know why it didn't get picked up.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That was fucking cool though.
Did you ever get to see it?
I saw the trailer. They released the trailer.
Yeah,
and I'm
in
the trailer. So that's how I got my footage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm so sad that it didn't get picked up. That would have been really cool.
Have you had any stunts that you've done where you've been injured? You have to have something where you were at least close to being messed up, though.
No, I mean, I like bruise myself and whatnot, but nothing like crazy. Also, I know my limits, and like if someone's like, Erin, we need you to jump off a fucking building, I wouldn't do it.
You're like, no, I don't do that.
Yeah, like I fall. Like, that's my thing. I fall.
And most brunettes your size in movies and horror movies, they're falling somewhere.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean? There's always a brunette falling down, a clumsy brunette.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Like, fighting, I could do that. Yeah, I know my limitations, so I'm like, I'm not going to do anything crazy.
So there were specifically stunts that were like, people asked you to do, where you're like, no.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like lighting
like
on fire. I don't want to get lit on fire. Like, I had a friend that did a fire stunt, and she said they didn't cover her completely with that, you know, repellent, that goo, and she got a little bit burnt.
Oh, my God.
Like, nothing crazy, but like, I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
And I was also thinking, they probably don't really give that much of a fuck about stunties in terms of, you guys have your own, your union is SAG, right?
SAG,
you don't have your own other union.
No.
Does SAG take care of the stunties? Because they don't really take care of the
actors. Take care of anybody.
But I'm wondering, I'll tell you why this came up. This came up yesterday. I was watching A Quiet Place, Part 2.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Which is great. But they had a trailer for Maverick, the new Tom Cruise movie.
Oh.
And my buddy leaned in, he goes, you know, he's flying all the flying scenes. He's actually flying the plane.
He does everything.
I mean, he's flying a fucking fighter jet. And he's like, yeah. And all I'm thinking is, everyone must have been freaking the fuck out. Because those things crash. He apparently took off from an aircraft carrier.
He's nuts. He does all his own shit.
Which is fucking crazy to me. Like, what? Just the idea of the insurance alone.
Right.
Like, you have stunt people because they're like, it's okay if these stunt people die.
Kind of. Exactly. They're like, whoopsie, we lost another one.
Yeah. I mean, I hear about it all the time. I know that in Vegas, all those Cirque shows, they're so, like, Cirque shows, amazing, great, but, like, they push you, people get injured, they're, like, next, here from the pool, 1,000, injured, next, have people, like, rotating in and out, like, weekly for that show. So you said your boyfriend is a crazy one. Yeah. So he's like legit hardcore into the stunts.
Injured all the time. He got really injured on Dunkirk. They did a crazy stunt in that. And like,
what was the stunt? Something exploded. He had a they're inside that boat.
Yes,
where the bullets are coming in.
Yep. Uh-huh. So the director didn't like let them know, like, hey guys, we're about to do a stunt, because he wanted them to be surprised. So he just like fucking like they just released a shit ton of water. Everyone got fucked up. Like, every stuntman got fucked up. So, and he had to do two more takes after that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So they just released water in the, they released water into the ship. I remember that moment.
Mm-hmm. No one was padded up.
And they didn't, he thought it'd be more authentic if no one knew?
Yeah. So.
And these are all, like, principal actors, too, as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, so I met him at the hospital that night, and he was like,
how did he get fucked up?
He went back to work the next day, but I think he had a concussion, because he was like, it looked like he was like seeing stars. Like, he was not all there when I was like, hey babe, how you doing? It was like, he looked,
can you
really
see it in the movie?
You can see the stunt. Yeah. And he says that you could see it in his face that like,
it was,
they got fucked
up. So hey, they got it.
Yeah.
They got the shot.
Hopefully it was okay that I mentioned that, but yeah.
No, I'm sure that happens all the time. Because at the end of the day, as an actor, and you hear about this with Michael Bay, of course, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we worked with him too recently.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
He probably worked with my friend Garrett Dillahunt, who's on the podcast.
Maybe.
He just did his last film. Michael Bay's last film. Anyway, apparently Michael Bay is one of these people that, you know, he's so determined to get the shot that he doesn't really care about your feelings.
Yeah.
Or your safety a lot of the time.
You kill someone, dude, you're fucked. Like, you don't want to, like,
I know.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Think he's, he, I don't think he's ever killed anyone, but I think some people have gotten fucked up on his sets, and they're like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, see, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah. So you had your boyfriend had a good time with him? Good experience working with him?
You know, it was sort of like what you said.
Yeah.
But,
he's like screaming. It's crazy. He's like the old school, still out there making movies. I've always said this, and this is about everything regarding, like, Me Too and all that shit. I don't mean shit like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Is that at the end of the day, everyone's fucking awful, and studios are awful, and corporations just care about money.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person can make you a fuck ton of money, and they happen to meet to have a problem with assaulting people or harassing people, or if you're making money, they're going to let it fucking slide.
Yeah, they get away with it, and it's fucking ridiculous.
Because everyone's like Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, Harvey Weinstein hadn't had a hit. What people don't realize, he hadn't had a big movie in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
His most recent film was Tulip Fever.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. So like, it was the days of Pulp Fiction were long gone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that the corporations in general, like, they look at the bottom line first, then look what's expendable. So a lot of the actors that go down, they're kind of like, we can do without them.
Yeah.
They figure out, they crunch some numbers, like, okay, we can get rid of them.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it is really sad.
Yeah.
Because I know that, why am I talking shit about Michael Bay? But like, you hear so many stories about that guy. You know,
he was
part of, you know, he screams at people's faces and pushes people and grabs people.
That's what I hear.
You know, shows up with underage Russian prostitute at every goddamn red carpet.
Who wants to work like that? Like, that's miserable.
But he keeps making money.
Yeah. So he gets to do it.
Until he has a flop.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. We're waiting. Fingers crossed.
Wow, that's really cool. So my stunt story, by the way, I ended up, I was like, I don't need a stunt person. I ended up doing it. Have you had a lot of firearms with your stunts?
I haven't.
Yeah. Because I love guns. I mean, I'm a guy. Every guy loves. Even for like, fuck the Second Amendment. We love guns. So... when you shoot with a blank, the sound is about half the sound of a normal shell, like a normal round.
Right.
Like a live round. So you put the earplugs in, but sometimes I'm like, I'm a dude, I don't fucking need my earplugs.
Oh God.
Yep.
You were like deaf all day, right?
Well, cause what, it wasn't my shooting the gun, cause at this point the shot wasn't me shooting the gun, which I had the earplugs in. It was Riz. Am I spoiling? Who cares?
No,
he's shooting
ahead.
Me and it hitting me, and I have like a half squib go off of my chest. And a squib.
It shoots all over the place, right? Like it, like
yeah,
yeah.
But it's a half power squib. So okay. It's basically when people get shot, you see the bullet like called a squib. Like, it, yeah, it's literally like spritz. A little electrical stimulant thing on your chest, and it gets signaled and explodes. But it's really small. I was like, oh, a half squib. That's it. So I didn't have my I didn't have my like my right ear plug in.
Oh god.
Because I would get shot in the left shoulder.
Oh.
It's fine. It's just a half squib. So I take the hit and I go down. Like instinctively, you're going to go down the way you go down. And they got the shot, thank God. So I didn't have to do it again. Because
did you fall on a pad? Or
no, I fell into asphalt.
Did they give you something like a back thing, like a gator? They're called or that you put on. You wear it on your back, like to protect.
Yeah, I think
you?
I had something on my back.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I had something.
I
on my back.
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, but I was even then. I was like, I don't need that. But yeah, I had something on my back. So I fell down, and they got the shot. But I was like, just ears ringing like crazy.
That sucks.
Like we get up for something like, oh shit, did I just make myself deaf?
Yeah.
And then I stand up, I walk to the fight quarter. He's like,
oh my god.
Like, how's it go? I think he was planning on going again. The COVID consultant comes by. This is 30 seconds after I was shot and hit the ground. Put your mask on.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, they're just doing their job.
Right.
And I should have just been like, but I'm like,
yeah,
just
hear anything.
Put your mask on. And I go, give me a minute. I'm dealing with a lot of shit right now. Just give me a second to like get situated. I'll put my mask on. Meanwhile, I just have like a dirty, shitty little mask in my pocket. You know, whatever. Yeah. So that happens. I put the mask on. I go and I said, we don't have to do it again. Manager calls me an hour later, like, I just got a call from like the VP of Amazon.
Okay.
And like, you had an outburst on set.
An outburst?
You cursed out this girl, the COVID consultant. And I was just like, what? I couldn't believe it. Like, top brass at Amazon was calling my manager.
God.
I was furious.
Yeah.
I was like, and meanwhile, she did something else after that where there's a scene, kind of revealing the whole movie. I'm handcuffed to this, like, post. And Riz has me at, like, gunpoint. I'm handcuffed to this post. And she goes, put your mask on. We're about to shoot. And I'm like,
God.
I'm handcuffed to a post. What do you mean, put my mask? And we're about to shoot.
Put it on with your feet.
So when I heard that, I said, I'm taking care of it, David. And I went and I, like, went to every producer on set. And I said, I need to talk about this right now. What happened? Da, da, da. It was 30 seconds after a stunt. So came to the girl. We went to the producers. And I think she thought that they were going to be on her side. But they were like, he was just a stunt. And he just got up. He just stood up. He was talking to stunt coordinator.
Yeah,
like,
stop
that's
being
like
a bitch.
Yeah. The COVID. I mean, this is last year.
It
was one of the first films being done sort of in COVID. But
still.
Yeah, I understand it, and I understand like they had all these weird rules where if you're part of the A team, like talent,
right,
you can be next to each other without a mask if you have scenes together.
Yep.
But if you're crew, the B team, you can't be next to talent without a mask.
Yeah, I filmed something in November, and yeah, we had all that crazy shit too, and it was annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But go on.
I mean, we had to get tested every friggin' day. And I guess I guess it's good. I don't know if it's how long that's going to last. If COVID consultants are just going to be the thing now.
I hope not.
Now we have a Delta consultant.
Oh, God. The special Delta.
Now, you said that you're moving to Atlanta with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which is a hot spot right now in the industry for sure.
Yeah, stunts and acting. So I'm already auditioning out there.
Oh, really?
We'll be there literally in like, I don't know, 5 weeks or something.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Has it been a long time of come and move, or was quarantine?
It was quarantine.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You were just like, fuck LA?
Yeah. We're just like, we were just over it. We were sick of it. We can't afford anything here because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
where were you living?
Sherman Oaks. So we're there like right now still. But,
yeah, yeah.
But I mean, there's so much going on in Georgia. So it was like, why not just move so we can buy something?
Yeah.
And yeah, all of a lot of our stunt friends have been out there for a while, or like are just moving out there. And even our contractor was like saying like, oh yeah, like we're building everyone's house right now because they're all going out there.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I've already I got a new agent that's strictly Atlanta, and they're sending me out already. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of auditions.
There has been a mass immigration from California during COVID.
Yeah.
Which I understand, and I was a part of to a degree, even though I have a place here still. But I think was the reason for the move, was it all work-based? The fear that the industry wasn't going to come back in L.A.? Or was it more political and like, man, I don't know if I agree with what the fuck is happening with this state?
All of that.
All of that.
Yeah, all of that. Like, I when I moved to California, I was like, I'm never leaving. I fucking love it. It's gorgeous. Like even my family was like, you're never coming back to the East Coast. So I was like, no. It just changed. How so to you?
Well,
okay, one thing is our neighborhood. Look, Sherman Oaks is like really nice.
I mean, it's
area.
A pretty fancy part of the valley. Yeah.
There's been so many break-ins this year, like in our neighborhood, on our street.
Oh, wow.
There's like constantly a freaking police helicopter circling looking for a fucking, the perp.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, and it's just not clean anymore. There's like, we live right next to this little, it's like a, I don't know what it is, like a walking trail or whatever. And there's a, like, so many homeless people down there. And like, I'm sad for their situation, of course. But, you know, they're not all mentally there. And you hear stories of them attacking people, and they're literally right across the street from us.
Yeah. It's a really weird position to be in terms of the homeless situation, because obviously if you're someone who says homeless people shouldn't be allowed to live on the streets like this, mm-hmm. you sound like a brown shirt. You sound like an evil fucking white privileged motherfucker. So the argument of like, well, what do? Arrest them? Do you put them in halfway houses? Do you put them in mental institutions? Like, I don't know. But the solution of letting them like camp wherever the fuck they want on the sidewalk, I don't know. I mean, I've never been harassed by anyone, by homeless. I mean, I've been harassed, obviously, but I've never been attacked or assaulted. So in my best mind, I like to think they're fine.
Right.
They're homeless. Sometimes they need help. But in general, we can coexist. And I think that may have been the prevailing sentiment behind what Gavin Newsom let happen. But it's, I also imagine as a woman, it's a different situation.
Yeah.
If you have a family, you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about the homeless, you automatically feel like you're being an asshole.
Yeah. I called the cops on somebody, a homeless guy, because it was like right on the side of our street, because I was just walking during the day and he like ran down this hill out of nowhere. Like, he didn't like attack me or anything, but he came towards me in such a way that I was like fucking
freaked out. Yeah.
And he was like, he wasn't all there. He was like talking shit. I was like, is this guy gonna fucking like jump at me?
Yeah.
And then it was the weirdest thing, because I didn't call 911. I just wanted to let them know that this is dudes over here. Can we please like get rid of him?
Yeah.
It took me forever to get through to like a police station. But it was scary. And then there was recently, like I want to say a few weeks ago, a woman walking her dog during the day got attacked by a homeless guy. It's scary.
Yeah.
I always have like pepper spray.
Now, but is this a problem in general that's happening all over America? Is homeless problem in America just in general a lot worse than it was, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Or is it just specifically California?
I just think California. I really do. Like, I don't know for sure, but like when we were in Georgia, we didn't see it.
In Atlanta, you didn't see it?
No. Jersey. I'm from Jersey. My family's there with their a few months ago. Mm. It's not in Jersey.
They changed some. The rules were, I think the rule that changed that made LA untenable for a lot of people was cops are no longer allowed to clear out homeless encampments.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're homeless and you make a tent on the sidewalk,
yep,
they're not allowed to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the rule. Am I right about that?
I think so. And it's also, it's uncomfortable. It's weird because, like, this makes me sound like an asshole maybe, but we were having dinner, like, sitting outside, and then there's, like, literally a dude sleeping next to you. And, like, I feel bad for him, obviously. Like, it's
But you're at
awful.
A three-star Michelin restaurant. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Come on. What the fuck's going on?
It was literally, it wasn't definitely not Michelin, but but it's just kind of like, hey, bud. Like, it's like, you know, and I sound like an asshole saying that, but I don't mean it in, like, I'm better than you. I mean it in a, Like, yeah. I feel bad that you're there. I wish you had like a, but it's, you know, it's not ideal.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and this is, goes back to everything we're saying, because before the podcast, and I'm not outing you this way, we were talking about how this is a very liberal town, mm-hmm. very liberal state. I've always identified as liberal. I still feel
I have the soul of a liberal.
There's a liberal in there,
but there is the policies that have been enacted in California in the past 10 years have made life here very, you know, just hard in a lot of different ways. I mean, part of you is like when you see gas. I think gas got up like $6.50.
Crazy! It's insane.
And then you're just like, can we just open up the Keystone fucking pipeline for fuck's sake?
I need some fucking gas.
Can we frack more? Oh, it's going to kill the... I don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's going to kill. I'm like, I can't afford to drive my car.
Yeah, the dodo bird's gone. I don't give a shit
it
about that.
Yeah, same.
Polar bears are going to be gone soon. And you know what? They were cute. Yeah. Actually, polar bears aren't cute. They don't sit around drinking Coca-Cola. They try to
they
murder
don't drink
people.
Coca-Cola.
No, they're awful. They're literally like trash grizzlies. That's what they are.
They're the poor white trash of grizzlies.
Yeah. They're not like brown. They're not like black bears yeah. that could be cute. Yeah. You put a little hat on them and take them to a party.
They're fucked up.
They're basically brown bears. Yeah. They're grizzly bears, but just albino grizzly bears, yeah. which
That's
are the
crazy.
Most violent bears on the planet.
That's scary. I'm glad yeah. I've never
yeah.
fuck seen a bear.
Fuck a polar bear.
Fuck oh, a polar bear.
Global warming's going to kill you. Bye-bye. Anyway, that's so awful to say.
Oh,
but
I love it.
Also, am I serious? Maybe.
Maybe
not.
Maybe not.
Partially.
Joking.
If it killed penguins, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I love penguins.
They're adorbs.
They are cute.
So, yeah. So, there's a lot of... I think a lot of people kind of left California looking for a place. Going to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A lot of liberals were like, I'm liberal, but I just don't like... I don't like being told what to do.
Well, then, I mean, you can't have both the best of both worlds. You just can't. You got to choose.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. How do you identify yourself politically? It's fine. You can say you're
yeah,
Republican.
No, it's so hard.
You're going to Georgia. Who cares?
Exactly. Well, I mean, that was part of the reason we wanted to go to Georgia, too. Like, so when we were originally looking for a home there, we stayed at this bed and breakfast, and the woman there was like, dude, like, she's from Georgia. She's like, I'm Democrat, but I'm so glad we have a Republican as the governor because we opened up after 2 months. Like, we can have jobs. We can thrive. We can live, you know?
I almost think the best solution for great America mm-hmm. is Democrat president
okay.
with Republican governors almost
right.
across the board.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go for that because it's funny because it's like, I don't feel like I definitely, like people are like, okay, if you're conservative and you're Republican, then that's what you are and that's it. And I don't like feel like that. I feel like I tend to be a little bit more conservative, but I also have views on like the other side. Like I'm like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like mm-hmm. I just don't want to like ever pigeonhole myself.
Yeah.
Because if people are like, oh, well, you're Republican, you hate gay people. I fucking love gay people. Like,
yeah, that's the weird thing. Like, I feel like the Republicans need a rebranding, or there's another party that can come in, because I feel that right now with everything going on with cancel culture and mm-hmm. PC culture, and I'm not an expert at the border
right.
at all, but at the same time, there's a problem.
Yeah, that
there.
Shit looks crazy.
There's a problem.
Agreed.
I mean, we shouldn't have completely porous borders. Even
no.
saying that makes you feel like you should be like, we shouldn't have completely porous borders. But there's, so we definitely want some protection.
Yeah, I'm
as
also
a
people
country.
Coming in, but yeah, we need to also be like, you know, not a free for all.
But yeah, it's a really weird time. I feel like sometimes I'll do sets and people go, man, it's good to have a Republican comic on stage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa,
yeah.
whoa. Like, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
But the needle has shifted for me, for sure.
Yeah, and it feels like almost like each side is trying to recruit you. Like, you're either this or you're either that. Like, no.
There's no middle ground, right?
Yeah.
If the Republicans, if Ron DeSantis,
yeah.
if he was like, look, guys, here's the deal. I'm running for president. I don't care about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I want to make abortion easier and
right.
safer and more legal
mm-hmm.
and less uncomfortable.
Right.
So that's my goal. Weed legal everywhere mm-hmm. in the fucking country. I want federal law legalizing weed.
I'm for that.
Make abortions easier to get. Everything else. Oh, get gay marriages.
Yeah,
we have double the gay marriages. everything else, I'm fucking Republican.
Yeah.
He would sweep
Yeah.
He would, if any Republican just got rid of that crazy fucking nerd factor. Yeah. Of just like, abortions and God and blah. It's like, give up the gay shit, give up the abortion shit, and give up the, what's the other thing? Guns. Well, I mean, anything, obviously anything racial, you give it up.
Yeah.
But I also don't think there are any Republicans pursuing anything that's racially kind of specific, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say the Voting Rights Act, but I, you know, that's one of those things, like, you talk to a Republican, they're like, it was COVID, we just want to ensure integrity. Yeah. You talk to Democrats, like, they're just singling out minorities. Mm-hmm. And then you talk to some black people and they're like, I have an ID. I don't need them to protect
take
care of me.
See, that's crazy when people, but like, of course, like, fucking everybody has an ID. And if you, you know, you can't get one, then that's pretty insane.
There is a thing they call the low expectations, where there's, so Republicans say things have to be this way, and the Democrats go, well, what about these disenfranchised people? Minorities aren't able to do it this way. And the Republicans rejoin that with, well, they actually can, and you're being condescending saying they can.
Yeah.
And they say, well, maybe that's true for some people, but look at this example of this story right here of this person who can't do it because they live here, and blah, blah, blah.
But isn't that true for both white and black people? Like, the people live, like, you know, there's white people that, like, are literally in, I don't want to stereotype, in the trailer park.
Those are my people. You know? Are my people. I have trailer park family.
I have lived in a trailer once.
I have trailer park. I used to go family vacation to visit a trailer park.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that.
So, it's not like, I just think that everyone's kind of full of shit. And I always thought that it was just Republicans that were hypocritical and full of shit.
Everybody is.
And now I'm just kind of like, oh, wait a second. I used to believe that liberals had this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the patent on morality, but they were sort of, they had the right to the moral high ground.
Right.
Because they were compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever someone's like, well, I'm a compassionate conservative, like, shut up. That's a contradiction in terms. It's not just that. Yeah. And I also understand it because you get older, you get grumpier, you get more, get those kids off my lawn and you think more about your family.
Right. Things change.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you guys don't have kids, you and your
guy. We don't want kids.
You don't want kids.
We got dogs. We're going to adopt some more. Dogs. We're good to go.
How many dogs you got?
Two. We got them during quarantine and I'm like,
oh,
I'm
really?
Obsessed. Like, my dog has her own Instagram. Like, I'm the best dog mom in the world.
So you don't want kids, but you might just have a kid someday.
Dude, if a kid happens, like, great. We'll keep it.
Oh, you're keeping it. Okay,
we'll
good.
Have it.
Okay, good.
Like, we'll happily raise that baby. But I have six nieces and nephews. Like, I love being an aunt. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, you get to see them and then take off and live the life you want to live.
They think I'm cool.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. They think their mom's a dork and I'm cool. So.
So, what's going on? What's next to you? What do you have, like, lined up? Do you have... Do you have like a pie in the sky thing? Is there a type of movie that you want to do, a type of person you want to work with? Is there like what would be the dream for me as a comedic actor? You'd always think like, man, I would love to do some sort of like Sasha Cohen type of movie, or Paul Feig. How do you say it? Feig, be careful how you say it. and Judd Apatow, like those guys, or Adam McKay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that world I would love to get into as a comic actor, because I'm an actor more than I'm before I was a comic. I was an actor and I'm very, but I could do like a Judd Apatow type of like serious, but also fucking goofy as
like
fuck.
Love was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for you and an actress and also in the stunts, is there something, a movie that for you is a pie in the sky?
So hands down, it would be like a Kill Bill. Like I fucking love Quentin Tarantino. Like True Romance. We just rewatched that too. And we're like, dude, this movie is so cool. And there's so many cool like stunts and action in it. But all the characters are like just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like I love like character kind of driven stuff, you know? But yeah, anything Quentin Tarantino, I want to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be cool.
And for you, being an actress, like if you could be an actress and not do stunts or do really cool stunts but no acting. I mean, there's always acting, you just prefer to be an actor.
So acting was like, that was the thing I always wanted. Like ever since I was a kid, I was like, I fucking love movies. Like I would just like, my first job was at a video store and I would like bring all the movies home and just like watch movie after movie in the VHS player. And I've just always been obsessed with movies, so I was like, this is what I want to do. Like I love this. Like and I was kind of, I was a little bit like on the shy side, but I was like, I'm gonna do this, and I, you know, whatever. But movies are my, that's my jam. Acting, like I studied in New York. I studied New Jersey when I was a kid, studied out here. Like, I just love, I love acting.
Do you have a movie that you want to do or produce or write? Have you, I mean, come on, it's, we're in the generation of creating your own shit.
I know. And you know what? I always see things and I go, like, I kind of look at things in a, like a funny sort of way. And I'm like a person I know, and I'll be like, dude, that person's a fucking hot mess. Like, that would be a great script or a character to play. But yeah, I guess I'm a little nervous about trying to write because I've never actually sat down and like tried to write something. Oh. Maybe like a you know, have somebody with me that like we write together. Or,
yeah, you and your boyfriend should write a good script.
You know, actually, he's we want to film something on our property when we get out to Georgia, and he's like, we're trying to come up with this like sort of apocalyptic thing where it would literally just be me. And then, like, maybe a couple other actors. So we're going to try and do that soon.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He's very creative, and he's always like, let's go to the backyard and, like, do a fight.
By the way, I just saw a movie during quarantine. I think a lot of people during quarantine went down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theory movies.
Right.
And documentaries. Yeah, I even saw, like, the two Coreys or whatever, the one about Corey Feldman.
I paid.
It's on his website. Yeah. I actually paid the money to watch it.
Okay.
And it wasn't very good. But there was another one about made by the stunt guy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's a really well-known stunt guy. And when he got injured, he had a really bad injury. Fuck, I wish I could remember what the story was. But there's something about like his pelvic girdle was destroyed, or he needed to get fixed by the top pelvic girdle fixer.
Oh, the fixer guy.
The pelvic girdle fixer. And the guy, I guess the doctor was telling him that he was fixing all these pelvic girdles of like young kids.
Oh.
Because their pelvic girdles were getting messed up from all the raping.
Wow.
So now I may have just butchered what the fuck this documentary is about.
Wow.
But it is so goddamn intense.
That's insane.
And really well produced. Like, there's money behind it. And this guy is basically like, look, I'm just a normal dude from Jersey. I did stunts. I've worked with this person, these pictures of all these people. And there's a certain point in my life, things happen. I realize, like, there's something really evil going on in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I don't know if it goes deep into adrenochrome and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, that shit is like, I mean, I don't know.
Like,
if that
he wasn't
is
saying, like,
real.
Oh, adrenochrome's a thing, but he is basically saying, like, there is a cabal of people in Hollywood who are fucking and torturing kids and having sex slaves, and nobody wants to talk about
That's
it. But it's obviously right there. And he was in a position where he could, like, really see it because he was surrounded by all the famous people but never really famous. And then going to these doctors who tell him these stories about the work that they do on other people. Oof. And God, I wish I could remember the name, but I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah.
But it changed his whole – now his whole mission is trying to get the word out that this is happening. But I think in general people will, like, tend to disbelieve stuff until it's, like, really proven.
Yeah. Especially because it's so fucked up. Like, you don't want to be like, oh, that's happening. Like,
yeah, I still to this day, I don't really want to admit it.
Right.
And I think that might be a general problem with some of the, with liberals, is they don't want to admit that their group, that their party could be this fucking gross and disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to believe that Hillary Clinton has a punch bowl full of children's blood and
I have
their
heard
friends.
That.
And I don't believe in Pizzagate and all that shit. But
what about Anthony Weiner, dude?
There are people who are fucking young kids.
Yeah.
And I know people say, well, it's a Catholic church. The Catholic church, you know, they obviously that's awful, but that's it's not more prevalent in the Catholic church than it is in public schools in America.
Yeah, there's some fucked up people out there.
The difference is Catholic church is supposed to have a moral high ground. So people have always looked at Republicans as the ones who are hypocritical with this shit. So it's a very interesting thing to think about Hollywood in terms of like what it does to people, like how it like chews people up and spits them out.
And people with money, they get away with shit.
Oh, they get away with shit.
Yeah,
absolutely. So anyway, I'm gonna send you this thing.
Yeah, please do.
Do you have anything that people can see you on right now?
Oh yeah, actually,
Fight Valley for one.
Well, yeah, but I have a movie called Harvey coming out, and that's the one I was just talking about that we did in Florida in November.
Uh-huh.
It's like I would say it's like a dark comedy. It's like a really like a lot of it's a small town. It takes place in a bowling alley. I play Karen, who's like a Karen.
Oh, you play Karen.
Yeah,
that's great,
dude. And I look totally different. I like it. It was
so you get to really chew into the role then.
Yeah, it was fun. When you see me, you'll be like, well,
and it comes
Karen.
Out when?
We're October. I think we're gonna do an LA premiere.
Nice.
And it's just yeah, it's like a cool like small
it.
Town. Yeah. So I'm actually a producer on it too.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks. First producer credit.
That's very great.
But yeah, no, I've seen it like three times already, and it looks great, and the music is really good. It's very like Stranger Things. My really good friend, his name's Johnny Alonzo, he like legit like brings me on everything he's doing. He's the best.
Oh wow.
So he was executive producing this, and he did all the music, and the music is just like really good. Like
yeah.
It's really so like even if you for some reason don't like the movie, like you're gonna be like, dude, this movie's like awesome. It's like underground, like a lot of German bands and stuff, like just
oh wow,
yeah, 80s vibe, like really cool.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I'll look forward to it. And where can people find you on the social medias?
Erin O'Brien Actress is my
O'Brien Actress.
Yeah, it's my everything.
You talk about your boyfriend. What's your boyfriend's social media?
Is Eric Audet. Dude, you gotta bring him on. He's got a fucking story.
I'd love to hear
story.
Some stories. Yeah, let him know.
He was in prison in Pakistan for 3 years.
Oh shit!
Yeah, he's got a documentary on Amazon right now.
What's
called
it called? The
Eric Audet Story: 3 Years in Pakistan.
Oh fuck!
It's fucking nuts. So watch that and let me know.
I will
what you think.
For
yeah.
sure. All right. Well, thank you for coming, Aaron.
Yeah,
you're awesome. Good to connect with you after Arlandria. And check out the Arlandria video by the Foo Fighters on YouTube to see me and Aaron in action.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
That was fun.
Yeah, easy breezy, right?
Yeah, but I'm glad you. Were